So today we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is chapter 12. We have actually 9 shlokas, so from 196 till 204. I'm going to go through the first 8 shlokas, just read it through, and then we'll focus on the last verse, which is verse 204. But then I will try to give my comments for each verse as well. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Binda. Jaya Advaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Binda. Thank you. So just to set the scene, because some of you may not have had the chance to attend the previous classes, because if I read the first 8 verses, you wonder how everything is connected. So I can spend 3 minutes just explaining about the background, how we managed to get to this verse 196. So this whole chapter is talking about the cleaning of the Gundicha temple, how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu organized an amazing party to be able to clean the Gundicha temple in such a significant way. So the superintendent was assisting, and he was organizing hundreds and hundreds of brooms and hundreds of cleaning material. And the next day, the devotees arrived with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can imagine hundreds of devotees just all over the temple, the Gundicha temple. And they were cleaning virtually everything, the ceiling, the wall, the kitchen, the residential area, the kirtan hall, the garden, the outside, you know, nothing is missed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally was observing how this whole temple is being cleaned. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us another example when we clean, how focus and how much we should pay attention. I remember when I first joined the temple way back in the early 80s in Kenya, Nairobi. Actually, my cousin made me a devotee, Sampradaya Das. And, you know, because I was a bhakta, I was engaged in cleaning the temple. He was explaining to me that when we clean the temple, every nook and corner, Krishna also does the same, you know, when it comes cleaning our heart. Krishna cleans every nook and corner of our heart to make sure what is the aparat, what is the sin, you know. All the inauspicious things will disappear, yeah. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaching us how to clean, not only externally and also internally, how to clean our heart with this beautiful chapter. And after the cleaning was done, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took all the devotees to Indrajumna Lake. There's an Indrajumna Lake not far from Gundicha Temple. I went there last year. It was Radha Damodar Prabhu, actually, the late Radha Damodar Prabhu. And this beautiful lake, and this lake is very popular. It's been there since the time of Satyayuga, they say. And Ashwamedha sacrifice has been done by King Indrajumna, hence the lake is known as Indrajumna Lake. And around it, there is beautiful gardens. Still, they have gardens as well. So after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completed the cleaning of Gundicha Temple, they all went near Lake Indrajumna. They sat in the garden, and a great prasadam has been served, you know, to all the devotees. And when the prasadam was served, it brings us closer to this 196, verse 96. Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya, they happened to sit side by side. And at that time, they were praising each other, but in a very indirect way. They sound like they are insulting each other, but actually they were praising each other. You know, senior devotees can understand, but an ordinary person, when he hears what they were saying, it looks like they are rebuking each other, but that was not the case. So that brings us to this wonderful first verse, 196. Ei mata dvija dane kali bali bali vyaja stuti kare dune yena gali gali. That's verse 196. Thus they both went on talking and praising one another, although their praise appeared negative, for it appeared as if they exchanged ill names. So now it all makes sense now when we hear this. Second one, 197. Tave Prabhu Sarva Vaishnaverana Malana Mahaprasadadena Mahamurta Sincha. Thereafter, calling all the Vaishnavas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed Mahaprasadam as if sprinkling nectar. At that time, the mock fight between Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu became more and more delicious. Text 198. Bojana kari uta shavi hari dhani kari hari dhani utila shava svarga matya bhari. After taking their lunch, all the Vaishnavas stood up and chanted the holy name of Hari. And the resounding noise filled all the upper and lower planetary systems. Text 199. Tave Mahaprabhu Shava Nija Bhakta Jane Shava Rishti Hasti Dila Malya Chandane. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered flower garlands and sandalwood pulp to all his devotees, devoted personal associates. Text 200. Tave vashe shakasvaru padi sata jana grihera bhitara koila prashada pujana. The seven persons headed by Swarup Damodar, who were engaged in distributing prasadam to others, then took their meals within the room. Text 201. Prabhura Ashashi Shagovinda Rakilad Hariya Seyana Hardase Kichudila Dilalana. Govinda saved some remnants of food left by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and kept them carefully. Later, one portion of this remnants was delivered to Haridas Thakur. Text 202. Bhaktagana Govinda Pasha Kichu Magi Nila. Say Prasada Govinda Appani Paila. The remnants of food left by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were later distributed among devotees who begged for them. And finally, Govinda personally took the last remnants. 203. Svatantraishvara Prabhu Karena Nakela Dhoya Pakalanama Koila Ekalila. The fully independent Supreme Personality of Godhead performs various types of pastimes. The pastime of washing and cleansing the Gundicha temple is but one of them. Today's verse, 204. Aradine Jagadhera Nitrotsava Nama Mahotsava Hoila Bhakte Raprana Samana. The next day marked the performance of the festival of Netrotsava. This great festival was the life and soul of the devotees. So this is today's verse that we're going to talk about. We have purport as well. Perhaps you can repeat after me. Aradine Jagannathera Netra Utsava Nama Maha Utsava Hoila Bhaktera Pranasamana Aradine Jagathera Netrotsava Nama Aradine Jagathera Netrotsava Nama Mahotsava Hoila Bhaktera Pranasamana Mahotsava Hoila Bhaktera Pranasamana Aradine Jagannathera Netrotsava Nama Mahotsava Hoila Bhaktera Pranasamana Aradine Jagannathera Netrotsava Nama Mahotsava Hoila Bhaktera Pranasamana. Anyone can repeat?
Aradine Jagannathera Netrotsava Nama.
Aradine netrot savanama mahotsava hoila bhaktera pranasamana. Amongst ladies. Aradine jagannathera netrot savanama Mahotsava hoile bhakte ra pranasamana. Aradine. The next day, Jagannathera of Lord Jagannath, Netra Utsava, the festival of seeing the eyes, Nama, named Mahotsava. Great festival, Hoila, performed, Bhaktera, of the devotees, Pranasamana, the life and soul. Translation by Stravang Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The next day marked the performance of the festival of Netrotsava. This great festival was the life and soul of the devotees. You may repeat. The next day marked the performance of the festival of Netrotsava. This great festival was the life and soul of the devotees. Purport. After the bathing ceremony of the Lord Jagannath during the fortnight before the Rath Yatra ceremony, the body of Lord Jagannath, having been washed, needs repainting. This is known as Angaraga. The Netrotsava festival performed gorgeously in the early morning of the Navayovanam day constitutes the life and soul of the devotees. Aradine Jagathera Netrotsava Nama Mahutsam Hoila Bhaktera Pranasamana. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitana Manovishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svavedantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jutha Parakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tamsa Jivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Shri Krishna Tere Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Ratamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sundu Dina Bandhu Jagatbate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namustute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Taruvyascha Kripa Sundu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanivyo Vaishnavivyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gauru Bhaktabanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prista Bhutale Guru Dasa Jayadvita Swami Tinamine. I would like to offer my humble obeisances to my spiritual master, Jayadvita Swami, by his mercy. I am able to assist devotees and also glorify this beautiful verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I also seek the blessing of every single devotee present here to be able to express Srila Prabhupada's purport in a meaningful way. So here, Krishna Das Kaviraj is explaining about the beautiful relationship Advaita Acharya has with Nityananda Prabhu. Actually, Krishna Das Kaviraj describes this whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is unlimited and unfathomable. Unfathomable means it is difficult to fully explore the internal meanings of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's very impossible to measure the extent of the glories of the devotees, of every single devotee who's participating in Chaitanya Lila. He used the word unfathomable. So in this verse, E mata dvija jane kari bali bali vyaja stute kari duni yena gali gali. 3 points are being mentioned. Bali bali, which is accusing and counter-accusing. Nityananda Prabhu is provoking Advaita. Advaita is provoking Nityananda. Devotees are wondering what's going on with these two Prabhus. Both are Prabhus. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the middle. He is Mahaprabhu. And these are the Prabhus. All three are Vishnu Tattva. The same Supreme Personality of Godhead appearing in three different forms. And yet these two are provoking each other. Vyaja Stuti. It's actually a praise in the form of accusation. It looks like Nityananda Prabhu is accusing Advaita. Advaita is accusing Nityananda. It appears to be. But actually it's a praise. They're praising each other. Praising their glories. Gali gali. Gali gali means they're exchanging these ill names. Yeah, you're a monist. The other one is saying, you're an avaduta. I don't know who you are. gali gali. Exchanging ill names. Here we're talking about praise. It's nice to talk about this praise because as devotees, we are also always engaged in praising one another and praising other devotees. There are different kind of praises, right, as we all know. The first one is self-praise. Can you imagine praising ourselves? Self-praise, which is usually dangerous for our ego. You know, a devotee refrains from glorifying himself too much. Yeah, so that self-praise can be a predicament. It can affect our ahankara. The second one is actually a praise in the form of sarcasm. That's dangerous, you know. The person doesn't mean it. He's praising you, but he is approaching you in a sarcastic manner to demean you. Yeah. In other words, what he said has a meaning of the opposite. Yeah. In other words, he may want to insult someone. He may want to irritate someone. Yeah. So he's praising him, but he doesn't mean it. That's also something a devotee avoids. A devotee doesn't get involved in this kind of so-called praise. The third one is a genuine praise, a direct praise. Yeah. So actually realizing, you know, the devotee's caliber, you know, the recipient of that praise is honored. Yeah, is glorified. And when that praise is genuine, when that praise is coming from the heart of a devotee, then a devotee feels admired. A devotee feels respected. Yeah, devotee feels that there's some kind of gratitude for what I have done, which is nice. Yeah, but this praises can be categorized in three. One is a direct praise. The other one is like what's happening with Nityananda and Advaita Acharya here. They're indirectly praising each other. The third one is a third-party praise. The recipient of the praise is not there, but somebody is discussing about this devotee or this personality elsewhere, third party. So their effect is different, believe it or not. Usually a direct praise, if it is not exaggerated, if it doesn't come across false, then it has an effect for the recipient. Yeah. So that means that when we praise someone directly, we have to be very careful because we can affect the consciousness of the individual, making him feel very uncomfortable. Can you imagine if somebody comes and tells you, Prabhu, you're such a pure devotee, you're going back to Godhead, you're actually the associates of the gopis, I want to touch your feet. You know, this kind of glorification makes the devotee very uncomfortable. Yeah. It's a direct praise, but actually exaggerated. It's too much. Yeah. So sometimes when we praise someone directly, we have to be very conscious. It has to be straight to the point. They just drop and make them understand we acknowledge what they've done and move on. Yeah. So the indirect praise is actually more effective. The person feels more comfortable. You're not praising him directly, but you're praising him indirectly, just like what Nityananda and Advaita Acharya is teaching us here. Yeah, they're not praising each other directly, but they're praising each other indirectly. But when Advaita Acharya is telling Nityananda Prabhu, I don't know you, you're an avaduta, where have you been? Now you're sitting next to me and you're trying to respect that. I don't want to eat with someone. I mean, everybody knows the caliber of Lord Nityananda. You know, everybody's laughing because they know that he doesn't mean it. Yeah. So this praise is indirect, but directly they're praising each other. So the third party praise is even more effective. The recipient is not hearing that praise, but he's hearing it from another third party that, oh, somebody was really admiring and appreciating what you're doing. Oh, really? Did he say that? Oh, that's nice of him. Yeah. That usually has a good effect. Yeah. So the person hasn't done it in front of him. He's done it elsewhere. But the words have come around. This is what we call the positive gossip. There's a negative positive gossip and a positive gossip. Sometimes when people talk about things like this positively, which is nice. So in that way, the devotee should be conscientious of the kind of praise that we're sending to an individual or a devotee. I wanted to share something about the lesson from Advaita Acharya when he's praising actually Lord Nityananda. He is telling him that you're an avaduta, we don't know you, you're sitting next to me, you're trying to eat, you know, I should be very careful. Yeah. So Advaita Acharya is also subtly giving us the information, not that Nityananda Prabhu is not worthy of sitting next to, can you imagine, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but actually he's giving us a lesson, telling us that eating in association, or eating in a very unknown place where things are not sattvic, must be avoided because it has a karmic effect. When we are eating in a place where devotion is not taking place, we may be eating in a restaurant, we may be eating even with individuals who are abhaktas, non-devotees, their conversation, their association, everything is material. So it actually affects our guna. We have the tamagun, you have rajagun, you have sattvagun. These things are buried in us. Our effort is to purify the tamagun, rajagun, bring it to the sattva level, and eventually push it to a pure sattva level, and a devotional level. So every time we associate with materialistic-minded people, every time we eat a food that's not offered to Krishna, we're actually fueling our bad gunas. The tamagun and the rajaguna are being fueled. It's like a fire. Every time you pour petrol, the fire is never hungry. Yeah? So these gunas are also hungry for this kind of materialistic association. So a devotee is expert in selecting the kind of association that he has. Yeah. So Advaita Acharya is teaching us in a subtle way, in that way. Slowly our nature will change. The more we associate with materialistic-minded people, the more we eat questionable, unoffered kind of food stuff, our nature eventually changes. And the more we do it, our emotion change, we become more agitated. If rajagun is increasing, we become more agitated. And the other thing is the senses get disturbed. The senses heavily get disturbed depending on what we eat. I know I've got a background, I'm from East Africa, born in Ethiopia. In Ethiopia, people actually eat onion so much. Jai Shishi Radha Gopalananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshmanma Shishi Gonitai ki jai. So sometimes the sauce that they have, almost one third of it is onion. Onion has such an effect on our consciousness. It makes us very, very, very passionate. Yeah. So what we eat actually erodes our goodness. Somehow or other, we don't know what we think out, and it's only a day, it's only a little bit or whatever, but actually affects our consciousness. So Advaita Acharya is actually subtly teaching us. And he is also emphasizing the point that the devotee's association is the foremost important factor in our devotional life. Very, very, very important. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had one beautiful song. He's saying, O Vaishnav Thakur, Tomara Kukura, Bolia Jana More. He's saying, O Vaishnav, please accept me as your dog. Yeah. He's saying that even if I take a birth as a dog in a devotee family, then I will be able to have Krishna Prasad. I will be able to associate with devotees. So he is appreciating even that kind of birth. Can you imagine a birth like a dog? But if it is in a devotee family, yeah. So it's important to be very, very selective on who we associate with and what we take and what we eat. When Lord Nityananda is, you know, accusing Advaita Acharya. He was telling him, you know, you're promoting the doctrine of monism, yeah? Which is also counted among the atheist and the agnostic. But actually, I mean, even the name, maybe Advaita, you know, Advaita means non-dual. The oneness, you know, Shankaracharya is propounding this philosophy that everything is one. We're one. We're as good as God. Yeah, everything is one. That's Advaita. But the Advaita philosophy appreciates the fact that there is a soul which is eternal fragment of the Supreme Personality of God. And there's Parabrahman as well. Krishna is there. So the dual, you know, the Vedantists actually, you know, acknowledge the dual nature of the entire creation. There's Bhagavan, there's also the living entities. Yeah, but beside that, there's also the expansions of Krishna, like Advaita and Nityananda. That's why Advaita Krishna is known as the incarnation of Mahavishnu, because he is the expansion of Lord Krishna. But Prabhupada describes that even though he is the expansion of Krishna, he didn't just expand for the pastime. He eternally exists and he eternally serves the Supreme Personality of Krishna as Mahavishnu. In other words, he retained his entity, but he is not an ordinary living entity like us. So the Vedanta philosophy actually describes that very, very clearly. There is Bhagavan, there is the living entities, the Jiva, which is an eternal part and parcel of the Lord. And there are also the expansions of the Lord, which are non-different than Krishna. They are one with Krishna. They may look different, but their power, everything is the same as Krishna. The Paramatma we have in our heart, he has four arms. Krishna has two arms. But the Paramatma within our heart, that doesn't mean that he has any less power than Krishna himself, because Paramatma is Krishna. The only difference is the look, you know, the appearance, the form is slightly different. Mm-hmm. There is one verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Krishna Das Kaviraj is saying about this Asat Sangha that we mentioned. Asat Sangha Tyaga E Vaishnava Charya Stri Sangha Eka Asadhu Krishna Bhaktara. Nice verse. A Vaishnava should always avoid the association of ordinary people. Common people are very much materially attached, especially to women. Vaishnavas should also avoid the company of those who are not devotees of Lord Krishna. Very strong word. Asat Sangha Tyaga. Asat Sangha Tyaga means rejecting the association of any kind of non-devotees. The only time we associate with them is when we inject Krishna consciousness, when we preach. Then you can have their company, you can laugh, you can giggle, but your intent is actually to give them Krishna Bhakti, love of Krishna. Stri Sangha, association of women to exploit them. You know, sometimes for a sense of gratification, we may tend to exploit women. You know, that kind of association with women with the intention to exploit them is forbidden. Asadhu, association with unsaintly persons. He is also saying Krishna Abhakta, someone who is not a devotee of Krishna. All this, we should reject the association, he's saying in that verse. And verse 197, Tave Prabhu Sarva Vaishnaver Namalana Mahaprasada Dena Mahamrita Sinchya. Thereafter, calling all the Vaishnavas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed Mahaprasadam as if sprinkling nectar. At that time, the mock fight between Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu became more and more delicious. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us personally about the importance of this beautiful Mahaprasadam. To say dear Krishna Das Kaviraj is saying that is like sprinkling nectar. To say that, you know, our prasadam is a secret weapon, right? Just simply by distributing prasadam, we can affect the consciousness of the individual in such a way that he can take Krishna Bhakti at a later date. So here in this verse, as is described, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is emphasizing the importance of distributing prasadam, giving Krishna through their stomach. So this is actually a dharma of also the grahasthas. The grahasthas are heavily meant to be engaged in this kind of activity, yeah, distributing prasadam, parole. So when the prasadam is prepared, because it's prepared with such a protocol, it's not just prepared casually. Yeah, there is a systematic effort to to make sure it is purely prepared and with so much love and so much attention to please Krishna. There is so much care and attention is given in the kitchen when we actually prepare the prasadam. So that consciousness of that devotee enters into this beautiful prasadam, and Krishna knows and appreciates that is prepared in such a loving way. He relishes it, and when we distribute that prasadam, it has an effect on devotees. Verse 198. After taking the lunch, all the Vaishnavas stood up and chanted the holy name of Hari, and the resounding noise filled all the upper and lower planetary system. Here again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching us on the importance of in a congregation way chanting the holy name Haridvani, Haridvani, the sound of Hari, the sound of Hari. Whenever we get a chance, actually having this kirtan, having the glorification of the Lord is very, very important, because it invokes our spirituality within. It connects us with Krishna. Isn't it? The moment we engage in some kind of kirtan, immediately we're connected with Lord Krishna. So kirtan is a connector. At the same time, it purifies our heart. There's so much sin that we've done, a sin that we don't even know for many, many lifetimes. Simply by chanting Krishna's name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us, those karmic reactions are burnt to ashes. We also get inner strength. Isn't it? We get a lot of strength when we have a kirtan in a joint way, in a loving way. The strength, the spiritual strength, bala, is coming because of this chanting. And ultimately, we can also develop love for God, love for Krishna. That's our ultimate destination. It's not to be materially wealthy. It's not to go to the upper planet system. That's not our goal. Our goal is ultimately to develop that same love we used to have in the spiritual world, which has been covered because of our material association. To invoke that love, the chanting is actually a medium for us. It will help us to concentrate. It will help us to develop our spiritual relationship with others. Isn't it? You develop a good company with devotees who are enthusiastic and chanting and hearing and book distribution. You get a new relationship, because you're a like-minded person. Yeah. So this chanting and this meditation actually helps us to build a very nice relationship with good devotees who are practicing spiritual life. Verse 199. Tabe Mahaprabhu Shava Nija Bhakta Jani Shava Kare Shri Hasti Dila Malya Chandani. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered flower garlands and sandalwood pulp to all his devotees' personal associates. Wonderful. All these verses are teaching us that whatever we do in the temple, whatever we practice, is actually in line with what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been teaching. We offer so many wonderful garlands to the deities. We offer a beautiful garland to the spiritual master. Actually, the deities are offered multiple garlands. It is said that in the scriptures that Krishna has a special garland, and this garland sometimes reaches all the way up to his knees. Sometimes there is garland that reaches up to his feet, a long one. And they're usually multicolored, minimum 5 colors in those garlands. And those are not the only garlands that he wore on his neck. As you can see in beautiful Radha Gokulananda, there is also a garland around his arms, his waist. There is a garland on his neck. There is a garland on his turban. So there's so many different kind of garlands that have been offered. So in the Tantra Shastra, it's mentioned garland smell and entering our nostril will clear our bondage from material association. So just simply by wearing a garland, such a blessing. Sometimes some people have a tendency when you give them a garland, they quickly take it out, right? There's no need to do that. This is a spiritual garland. You wear it for some time. It's such a blessing, because this is infused with so much devotion. First of all, it's prepared with so much and love and devotion with devotees in such a beautiful, expert way. And then it's offered to Krishna. And Krishna appreciates every single thing the devotees have done. He remembers everything, every flower they selected, how they beautiful they designed it. Yeah. So Krishna's energy is actually in that garland. So by wearing that beautiful garland, smelling the flowers, we're actually purifying ourselves, we're making ourselves closer to Krishna. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering the flower garland and sandalwood pulp. In the morning we are also offered, after it's offered to Krishna, we're all also offered the sandalwood pulp. So there is also another statement in Agastya Samhita. Again, the smelling of this beautiful garlands offered to Lord Krishna purified all our impurities, the impurities found in our heart. They are very purifying. In some places, Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that one can advance from being a Mayavadi devotee. Can you imagine? Just simply by wearing a garland. You wear a garland, Krishna appreciates that, wow, you wear that garland, you appreciate that garland that was offered to me. If that person is Mayavadi, hopefully in the next birth, he gets given the opportunity to take birth in a devotee family. So we must not underestimate the power of anything that's offered to Lord Krishna, whether it is a charanamrita or sandalwood pulp, incense, garland, diva. All these things are very powerful. We may forget. We do this and that's it, we forget. Krishna never forgets. He also counts how many times we've done that. At the time of days, he's got a list of every devotional activity that we've been involved with. You know, he knows. So, next verse. Actually, in connection to this beautiful garland that's been offered to Krishna, there's one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam I wanted to share with you. Tvayo bhokto shranga ganda vaso lankara chatiha uttista bhujino dasas tama mayam jaye mahi. Simply by decorating ourselves with garlands, fragrant oils, cloth, and ornaments that you have already enjoyed, and by eating the remnants of your meals, we, your servants, will indeed conquer your illusory energy. Very powerful verse. Here Uddhava is saying, Tvaya upabhukta. He is saying that Tvaya, this is already enjoyed by you, my dear Krishna. Already enjoyed by you. Shraka gandaha, you know, with fragrant garlands and ornaments. Utishta bhujina, and eating also the remnant of your foods, yeah. Mayam jaya mehi, he is saying, will conquer the material energy. The material energy simply can be conquered simply by ordering and accepting this kind of offerings. And Skanda Puran, Lord Brahma also tells Narada Muni, oh my dear Narada, anyone who puts on his neck the flowers garland which was formerly used by Krishna becomes relieved from all disease and reactions to sinful activities. And gradually he gets liberated from the contamination of matter. Wow, isn't that powerful? Now everyone is going to be very keen to wear garland. So simply by putting these garlands, applying Gopi Chandan, even Tilak, you know, on ourselves, accepting any kind of ointment offered to the deities has a very powerful effect. I know I'm very conscious of time. I wanted to share what Prabhupada said in this regard. Prabhupada is saying, even if one does not accept all the Vaishnava principles, whoa, even if you don't accept the Vaishnava principles, but still takes the remnants of foodstuff offered to Krishna or Krishna Prasad, he will gradually, that word gradually is given, he will gradually become qualified to rise to a platform of a Vaishnava. Powerful, very powerful. Even having, that's why we distribute a lot of prasadam. Prasadam distribution is so powerful. We think we just satisfy the person, he was hungry or whatever, but Krishna never forgets, yeah. He always remembers whoever has Krishna prasadam. And somehow or other, even if we're not following the Vaishnava principles, he gives that devotee, that person, the opportunity to continue with his spiritual life. Text 200. Tabe parve shara sharu pade sati jana grihe rabitari kola prashada bhujana. The seven persons headed by Swarup Damodar, who were engaged in distributing prasadam to others, then took their meals within the room. Here Swarup Damodar is assisted. He has multiple devotees assisting him and systematically distributing prasadam to all the devotees near Indrajumna Lake. So Swarupa Damodara, when he selects his qualified devotees, he's very careful. Sometimes we have a tendency just to grab anyone and everyone to serve prasadam. But as much as possible, it's nice to pay attention to the kind of person who's been selected to serve prasadam. Normally a seasoned devotee, a devotee who knows the protocol of serving prasadam, is chosen to serve prasadam, because the devotees need to be served properly. So here Swarupa Damodara is selecting carefully the kind of devotees who should be serving. First of all, these devotees Swarupa Damodara is selecting are aware that prasadam is not different than Krishna himself. We fail to recognize that sometimes, isn't it? We fail to recognize the prasadam offered, the prasadam, food offered to Krishna, is not different than Krishna himself. So these devotees are qualified to understand that. Therefore, they have so much respect for prasadam. They don't serve with their left hand. For instance, simple protocol, knowing that left hand is used for cleaning. They're very conscious. Yeah, they don't step on prasadam. If prasadam is spilling on the floor while you're serving, they're very careful not to step on the prasadam. You see the protocol, you see their consciousness. They're very careful because they know prasadam is non-different than Krishna himself. And they usually present themselves very clean. They're very peaceful. They're satisfied. It's important to be satisfied before we serve others. Otherwise, that greed element takes over. Yeah. So it's always important to be satisfied and peaceful. Actually, it's encouraged sometimes if the server, somehow or other, if he's very hungry, it's allowed to make sure that he has some prasad before serving. Yeah. That helps sometimes. You know, the mind calms down, we become peaceful. And instead of taking, we have the consciousness to give, to appreciate devotees. So those kind of protocols are usually observed. I wanted to share one example Srila Prabhupada experienced with his guru brothers. When he went to see Puri Maharaj, there was one of his guru brother known as Ananda. This devotee Ananda, Prabhupada's guru brother, he was so happy to see Srila Prabhupada coming to their ashram. So before Srila Prabhupada arrived, he went out of his way to prepare such a delicious offering to the Lord so that eventually it can be offered to Srila Prabhupada. He prepared it personally. Yeah. So when Srila Prabhupada arrived, he has so much honor, not just to Srila Prabhupada, to all the devotees. And sometimes when the guru arrives, we forget that the servants are as good as the guru. We forget that. All our attention goes to the guru. We kind of neglect and offend the servants. That's also dangerous. But Anand was showing by example to all Prabhupada disciples, he was virtually treating and respecting all the servants of the disciple of Srila Prabhupada as good as Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was witnessing that and he was so pleased. Sometimes Prabhupada will be very happy to see his disciples fed more than the offering to himself. Yeah. But if the disciples are neglected, obviously he will be disturbed and he will be affected. So after this whole exercise, how Anand Prabhu has served Srila Prabhupada and his devotees, after they left, Srila Prabhupada started telling his disciples privately. He said, this is all in Leelamrita. If you go through page 66 to 67, you'll find the story there. After one such feast, Prabhupada called the devotees into his room and remarked, see how he is cooking. He cooks everything. He serves it. And then he doesn't eat until everyone is fully satisfied. This is a Vaishnav. How he should act. He is more satisfied to serve than to enjoy himself. Yeah, Prabhupada was really appreciative of the way Anand was serving. I mean, imagine, that was Anand. Anand is Srila Prabhupada's guru brother. He was personally serving all the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. That's a consciousness. Text 201. Prabhu Ravesha Govinda Rakhilad Hariya Seyana Haridase Kichudilalana. Govinda saved some remnants of food left by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and kept them carefully. Later, one portion of this remnants was delivered to Haridas Thakur. We all know in the last days of Haridas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to visit Haridas almost every day, every single day. Not only that, he visits Haridas Thakur, he also ensures a prasadam is being given to Haridas. Because Haridas doesn't usually come, especially in those days he was very ill, he was very old. Because of that, he was not joining the devotees during prasadam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Govinda to ensure that prasadam is saved and taken to Haridas. So when that happens one day, Govinda brought the prasadam and Haridas said, "Oh my dear Govinda, you brought me Mahaprasadam. How can I eat? I'm so ill. I can't even chant my rounds. I'm not even able to lift my fingers to chant my rounds." He said, "I've been chanting 192 rounds a day." That's his target. We got 16, right? Haridas Thakur chants 192 rounds every single day. Yeah. But this time, maybe he is on 187 or something like that. But still he's feeling morose that I haven't finished my rounds. How can I respect this Mahaprasad? But how can I refuse Mahaprasad at the same time? This is Mahaprasad. I cannot refuse. I have to respect. So he's like a dilemma. Should I be eating before I finish my round? Or should I kind of reject the Mahaprasad? But he said, "Okay, I know what to do. Compromise is just to take a little bit, a little morsel." And he ate that. "Ah, now I'm satisfied. I have respected Prasad. Please allow me to finish my rounds." So when Govinda went back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya was asking, "So how is Haridas?" Not that he doesn't know. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is omniscient. He knows everything what's going on in the heart of his devotee. So I asked Govinda. Govinda said, "Oh, Mahaprabhu, Haridas is very ill. He's not even able to chant his rounds. He's very, very ill." Said, "Okay, I'll see him." So the next day, he went to see Haridas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he's home, obviously he's very ill. And Haridas expressed how he is very, very ill. He is not able to chant. He rather die than live. And he said, if he dies, he wants to die on his lap, on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lap, while watching his lotus face. So he said, "Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think my days have come when I need to depart this world. And please promise me one thing. That promise is that please allow me to lie down on your lap while meditating on your beautiful lotus feet. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acknowledged that. The next day there was a big Naga Sankirtan. So many devotees went for a Sankirtan in Haridas Thakur's place. Roaring Kirtan, beautiful Kirtan. Haridas Thakur is so much in ecstasy. He felt that, okay, the day has come. And, immediately he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lifted him. That's when he passed away. In the middle of that beautiful kirtan, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally lifted him and took him to Bay of Bengal. So in that way, Govinda was also dedicated in serving Haridas Thakur. And so next verse 202. Bhakta gana Govinda vasha kichu magi nila se prasarana Govinda apani poila. The remnants of food left by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were later distributed among devotees who begged for them. And finally, Govinda personally took the last remnant. Can you imagine? Govinda is the godbrother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but yet he's his servant. Ishvara Puri is their common spiritual master. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken diksha. There is also Kashishvara Prabhu. Both brahmacharis, Kashishvara and Govinda are brahmacharis. They are the disciples of Ishvara Puri. When Ishvara Puri was just about to leave the world, he gave them instruction that now you must go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to your godbrother, and serve him hand and foot. They took that instruction. So the first time Govinda met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Nilachala, Navadvip. And he expressed that to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately rejected that. "How can you? You're my godbrother. How can I take service from you?" "No, no, no." He insisted. He said, "No, you cannot be my servant." And then Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya intervened. Sarvabhuma said, "No, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the guru's instruction prevails. Not what you say, but your guru, Ishvara Puri, say that they should serve you. Therefore, you have to accept." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was defeated. He accepted Govinda and also Kashishvara. So although they are the personal servant, Govinda tend to take care of the physically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's need. Whereas Kashishvara is very heavy built, and he used to give way to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For instance, when he goes to Jagannath Puri, there is a big crowd, right? It's very difficult for sannyasis to go through all these people. So Kashishvara is the person, the devotee, who actually gives way to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the way to Lord Jagannath, so that Lord Jagannath can have darshan. I'm conscious of time, just want to say the last verse. Verse 203, Svatantra Vishwara Prabhu Karena Nakela Dhoya Kala Nama Koilae Kailila. The fully independent Supreme Personality of Godhead performs various types of pastimes. The pastimes of washing and cleansing the Gundicha temple is but one of them. Yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed multitude pastimes. Actually, the pastimes, the early pastimes are all described in Adilila. That's Murari Gupta compiled that in his diary, the early pastimes. So the whole Adilila is centered around Murari Gupta's compilation. But then Swarup Damodar also kept a diary of the Madhya and the Antya Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So most of the Madhya and the Antya Leela is coming from that. So they're known as Adi Leela and the Shesha Leela. The Shesha Leela is a post-pastime after childhood. So during his pastime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't perform his pastime personally himself. He also used, you know, his associates like the Panchatattva. He also used his devotees. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pastime was not happening just then only. It continued. It's happening now through the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, all the Sankirtan and the book distribution, all these things is actually the pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He initiated, he inaugurated the chanting of Krishna Nam. So it's like a wave on the ocean. It continues even after his departure. So it's important to understand that. Today's verse, 204. Ara nira jagat hera netrotsava nama mahotsa hoila bhakti ra pranasamana. The next day marked the performance of the festival of netrotsava. This great festival was the life and soul of the devotees. Purport. After the bathing ceremony of Lord Jagannath, during the fortnight before the Rath Yatra ceremony, the body of Lord Jagannath, having been washed, needs repainting. This is known as Angaraga. The Netrotsava festival performed gorgeously in the early morning of the Navayovana day constitute the life and soul of the devotees. Netrotsava. Netra means face. The beautiful face of Lord Jagannath. It's Utsav. Utsav means festival. So this Netrotsava is celebrated on the 16th day because for 15 days Lord Jagannath disappears. There's no darshan. This is Snan Purnima. The bathing is going on. 108 pitchers have been used to bathe Lord Jagannath. So when they actually bathe Lord Jagannath, they cover his eyes. His eyes are covered, just like when we bathe the deities. Normally, the eyes are covered. You know, just like when we bathe ourselves. You know, we close our eyes, right? Same principle. So the eyes of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra has been covered for those days until the last day. The last day is known as Netromilanam. Netromilanam. That's the day when the eyes have been revealed. First, they are revealed to the pujaris. And then, when on the 16th day, when Jagannath comes out, then they are revealed to the public as well. So this festival, Netrotsava, is very, very special for devotees because the devotees have been in agony, waiting to have darshan of Lord Jagannath for 15 days. And finally, he comes out of the Gundicha temple. And the first time they see Jagannath after those 15 days will be then. So that's why, you know, the festival is known as one of the most special day for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. I'm very conscious of time. It's 8:45. If anyone has one or two beautiful commentary on this verses, you're welcome to do so. And if there is one or two questions, I'm also happy to take questions. So I would like to end this session at this point. Has anyone got any points to add or any questions? Hare Krishna.
Think about it when somebody else can do it. I was just taken back with the how do we treat every devotee the same, because you cannot say
you glorify one more than the other. Why should we glorify one more than the other?
Mm-hmm.
If it's all, it's all good devotees, good association.
The point we were making earlier on is mainly for materialistic-minded people. A sangha, a devotee association, is always welcome. It doesn't matter whether it's a junior devotee or kanishtha, they all have something to offer. So we can associate with them. But the asad sangha that we're talking about is disassociating ourselves from worldly-minded materialistic people. So associating with them in a materialistic way and accepting their way of thinking, the way of doing things, actually contaminates us. That's the a kind of association we should avoid. But amongst the devotees, doesn't matter whether we're a junior devotee, senior devotee, a devotee is always thinking of Krishna. That association is welcome. That association welcome. We don't have to, we can choose in a sense that, for instance, if somebody wants to develop the ability to distribute books, there's no harm in selecting a devotee who is a great book distributor to learn from them. We can choose so that we can enhance our services according to that. Yeah. But otherwise, in general, anyone who's practicing Krishna consciousness, anyone who's chanting Krishna's name, is worthy of association. Yeah. So the asad sangha we mentioned is for materialistic people, worldly-minded people, because their consciousness is contaminated. So even if we associate with them, it should be with the intent of giving them love of Krishna somehow or other, by preaching to them, by encouraging them.
My point is that we over-glorify one more than the other, and the other is standing right there, and they're both doing same service.
So I like what you're saying. What she's saying is sometimes we over-glorify one and neglect the others.
Yeah.
This is a very important point. She's made a wonderful point.
Yeah.
I can give you an example. Look at a tree. A tree grows. Everyone is looking at the trunk, the branch, the leaves, yeah, the mangoes or the fruits that the tree is offering. It's nice, beautiful. But sometimes we forget the importance of the root. The root is not seen, right? It's under the ground. It's actually struggling. Can you imagine, for a branch to grow, it's easy. The challenge is less. Whereas someone like a root, the root has a lot of challenge to grow because of the rock, because of the earth, and he's living in darkness. But yet, you will not be able to see the fruit, the leaves, and the branch if there is no root. So sometimes, even when we do a book distribution, we tend to forget the contributors for that book distribution. We tend to focus on the person who's actually giving out the book. Actually, the person who's cooking for the devotees is also worthy of our appreciation. The person who's arranging a transport is also worthy of our appreciation. The person who's organizing the festival for the book distributors, worthy of appreciation. The person who's keeping the inventory of the books, worthy of appreciation. The person who's keeping the finance, who's going to the bank and banker, worthy of appreciation. These are all interlinked. These are the roots, unseen. We don't see them. We don't see the root, but actually it plays a very vital, important part. Isn't that so?
Yeah.
So when we appreciate, the appreciation should overspill. We should be conscious of the devotees around. That's why this Ananda Prabhu, when he's serving Srila Prabhupada, he was so conscious of all the disciples. He hasn't missed a single devotee. This is a Vaishnava consciousness, to actually appreciate everyone who is involved in Krishna consciousness. Not someone who's like a book distributor only. He is worthy of appreciation, yes. But we must not, that's Kanishtha mentality. Kanishtha mentality is only to go for the big thing. But actually, a more advanced devotee appreciates everyone else. Everyone else who's actually doing service. Even someone who's cleaning in the toilet. Yeah? That's not a lowly service. That's still a service for Krishna, because he's serving. In fact, that's a glorified service, because he has humility for someone to be able to do that. That means he's got humble consciousness. And that's our biggest qualification to enter. That's the ticket to the spiritual world. It's humility. Without humility, without that bridge, we'll not be able to enter. Because that's the very reason why we came to the material world. Because of our ahankara, we wanted to be higher than Krishna. We wanted to be equal to Krishna. And we don't have a room in the spiritual world. We have to come to the material world. And Does that make sense, Mataji?
Absolutely. Thank you. And I was thinking of Prayojana Prabhu, who cleaned the toilet with humility, total humility.
We all adore Prayojana Prabhu. Yes. He is teaching by example. Absolutely. Example.
Thank
you. So you made a very important point. Always think of the root and the branch and everything. It's always nice to glorify the mango. At the end of the day, without the root, that mango will not exist, will not be there, will not be appreciated. Yeah. So the root is very important. That's why when we grow a plant, we always water it, because we know the root needs to be fed for the plant to grow. Thank you so much, Mataji. Very conscious of time. I think we should end here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Gaura Pemanandi, Hare Hare Bhava, Hare Krishna.